Welcome to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show. Here you will find a variety of podcasts from authors, bloggers, and speakers ready to encourage you on your daily journey. I can't wait to get started, and now let's listen to today's show.
This podcast is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join me, Katie Glennon, on the Literary Cafe podcast, where I share helpful tips and ideas to teach language arts, literature, and writing. My hope is for you to be able to walk away excited to try some new ideas in your own homeschool. Please visit me on my website, literarycafepodcast.com, for these ideas and resources to help you enjoy your homeschool journey. Welcome to the Literary Cafe podcast. I'm your host, Katie Glennon, and I'm so excited to welcome you to my very first podcast with the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. To let you know who I am, as I said, my name is Katie Glennon. I've been in the field of education with a specialty in English and secondary education for a little over 30 years, teaching all ages and training teachers. I homeschooled my guys for 15 years who are now in college and one is about to graduate. I still can't even wrap my mind around what happened to all the time. I started a website called Katie's Homeschool Cottage where I hope to take some stress off of all of you by sharing tips and resources so you can better enjoy your homeschool journey. I want to thank you for joining me in this first podcast. So join me and grab your favorite beverage. If you're anything like me, you'll probably find it forgotten in the microwave after you've reheated it for about the third time. Today's podcast is about teaching and sharing Shakespeare with your children. So let's get started. To be or not to be? That is the question. Most of us will recognize that as a quote from Shakespeare. But can you guess from what play? Or who said it? And what was the character actually thinking about when he asked the question? If you guessed the play as Hamlet, you would be right. And if you answered that Hamlet asked this question, you're right again. Now, what was he thinking? A common thought is he was trying to figure out his path in life. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. He was actually considering if he should continue to exist or not, maybe even commit suicide. He was faced with the problem he just learned about, that his uncle killed his father, the king, and then married his mother. Hamlet was trying to decide if he should seek revenge on the uncle for his father's death, or if committing suicide would be the solution, because then he would no longer be faced with this problem or decision. This phrase is used very commonly now in our culture, and the plot or storyline can be found in many plots today. Disney's Lion King is an example of where the son of the king seeks justice for his father's death at the hands, or paws in this case, of his uncle, the king's own brother. We see other plots or storylines in other movies, plays, books, or even television shows without even realizing they originated from Shakespeare. Can you name the Shakespeare play that the movie and play West Side Story is based on? If you are thinking Romeo and Juliet, you got it. A romance where the two young people in love come from families who are sworn enemies. This theme has been repeated over and over, even in television shows like The Beverly Hillbillies, or used as a plot or a theme in The Brady Bunch, or even in Disney's, wait for it, Romeo and Juliet. You gotta love that. The play, Hamlet, was performed on the TV show Gilligan's Island by the castaways, with Gilligan playing the part of Hamlet. And of course, if the bard had been standing there watching their rendition, he would have been left shaking his head. Now, what does all of this have to do with the study of Shakespeare, besides maybe providing some fun trivia? Well, as your children get older or enter high school or college, they will be reading all different kinds of literature and poetry. And to be familiar with Shakespeare can help them appreciate what they are reading more or understand what the writer is trying to portray, especially in poetry, when there are fewer words, but the poet is trying to convey full ideas by tying in the names of characters or phrases from plays without giving full details in the poem. Also, because these are just a few examples of how Shakespeare's works have seeped into and infiltrated our culture and everyday lives. And sometimes we don't even realize how much this happens or where it comes from. I've included notes and handouts about all of this and the rest of what I'll be telling you about Shakespeare on this page, literarycafepodcast.com. We hear common phrases or words that were coined or created by Shakespeare, not even realizing that they originated from the 1500s to 1600s. Even the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory alludes to a line from Romeo and Juliet. As the child's mother's being escorted from the factory by security guards, Mr. Wonka says, "Adieu, adieu, parting is such sweet sorrow." This refers to the famous quote when Juliet says goodnight to Romeo. That line has been said over and over again in movies and TV shows for years, usually in a comedy and said in a very overly dramatic way. It's even used in Star Trek. Who would have thought? It's not just quotes or plots from his plays we use and see, but also words and phrases he invented. Shakespeare is said to have created 1,700 words. Words like eyeball, luggage, and swagger. Even zany, or green-eyed, as in the green-eyed monster. And even courtship. So roughly, that's about one word out of every 100 words we speak can most likely be attributed to William Shakespeare about 500 years ago. Phrases that Shakespeare coined are also found throughout literature. For example, have you ever heard of the phrase, "dead as a doornail"? Shakespeare used that phrase in Henry VI. Charles Dickens then used it to describe Scrooge's former business partner, Jacob Marley, in A Christmas Carol almost 300 years later. Shakespeare also used the phrase, "all that glisters is not gold," in The Merchant of Venice, which became "all that glitters is not gold." Tolkien later used this idea in his Lord of the Rings series when he wrote a riddle that said, "all that is gold does not glitter." You can even see that on t-shirts. He was describing the importance of one of the characters who did not look quite that impressive on the outside, despite his importance and quality on the inside. There is also a long list of book titles and poetry that is influenced and taken from phrases that Shakespeare used in his plays. Other than the extent to which Shakespeare has permeated our daily lives and maybe understand what we read just a bit better, another reason to be familiar with the bard and his works is to look at how he examined humans and their personality characteristics. He is the ultimate spectator and note taker of human nature. Have you ever just sat on a bench in a public place or the beach just to people watch? Shakespeare is a bit like that late night talk show host who opens up his show standing on stage and pokes fun at famous people and people in the news. He points out the funny things they say or do. Shakespeare enjoyed poking fun at people and their foibles, which means pointing out their weaknesses or their weird idiosyncrasies in their character, whether it is their tendency for drama or pride or greed, which ultimately becomes the reason for their own demise, or the zaniness that can occur because of love, like in Midsummer Night's Dream and his other comedies, or young love's fickleness, like when Hamlet has just broken it off with his most recent girlfriend and he spots Juliet for the very first time. He instantly declares his love for her. For those of you with teens, does that maybe sound just a little bit familiar? He also examines how humans think and how they struggle with moral and ethical dilemmas, like Hamlet after he learns his uncle killed his father. Hamlet conveys out loud in his monologue what he's thinking. What should he do with this knowledge of his uncle's betrayal? Should he seek revenge on his uncle? Or, on the other hand, is killing his uncle somehow going to make up for the death of his father? Reading about and discussing these kinds of characters, their actions and motivations, and situations from the plays can help develop thinking and decision-making skills, and examines life and human nature. So now that I've shared some reasons for why reading and studying Shakespeare is a good idea, let's look at how and what you can do to make it understandable and even fun. Yep, I said even fun. Reading original Shakespeare for the first time in high school, college, or even as an adult can be intimidating and not so fun. I would be lying to you if I told you that everyone should be able to understand it and enjoy it when you first encounter it. That's why I encourage you to start reading children's stories from Shakespeare's plays while your children are in the elementary years. There are some wonderful books written for children where the plays have been retold in the form of a story and shortened so children can understand the plot and characters involved. This way, they can better understand the real plays when they read them or watch them when they're older. I've included these titles and other resources I'll mention on this page. Two that I really like are Tales from Shakespeare by Charles and Mary Lamb and Beautiful Stories from Shakespeare by Edith Nesbit. I like how each book retells the stories in a shorter story format. If you want some background information on William Shakespeare, with a pronunciation guide to the different characters' names, pages of famous quotes listed for you, and twice the number of stories to choose from, you would want to use Beautiful Stories by Edith Nesbit. There are also audio files of stories from both these books for your family to listen to, available for free on the internet, or you can purchase them. For high schoolers studying Shakespeare, Barron's has published two series that you will want to look at. There is Simply Shakespeare and Shakespeare Made Easy. Both of these series have the original version of a play written by Shakespeare on the left-hand side of the book, with the modern English version facing it on the right-hand side. So your high schooler can read how Shakespeare worded the play and then look to see what those words mean in modern English. Audios of the original plays can also be found free on the internet or for purchase. So you might be thinking, okay, so we read the story, now what? Well, some ideas for activities after you read one of the stories, or you have chosen a story you enjoyed the most, might be using a famous quote from the play that your children will understand, and then have them copy it for copy work if you enjoy the Charlotte Mason method. Or you might have them retell the story or a favorite part of the story and have them write it down and then draw a picture about what they just wrote. Or another idea would be to have them draw a picture of a scene from the story and then write a sentence or two about that scene that they just drew. And I've included a link to an ebook that I've created with pages to use just for this purpose, and that link is on this page. The ebook also has book titles, activity ideas, and website links for more information and activities when studying Shakespeare. I'm also including a coupon code you can use for a discount just for listening to this podcast. Another thing you can do is plan a field trip to see a Shakespearean play. There are children theater groups who perform just Shakespeare plays, and they work on their skills all year long to perform one play in the spring. These are excellent productions. They even compete for an award against other children's theater groups. They are in a special format where the children can understand them. They are narrated throughout the play so the children understand what's going on. There's slapstick comedy on the stage. And if your children have read these books like I've suggested, they will, just like mine did when they were younger, they will understand what's going on in the story, in the play, and they'll enjoy it so much more than if they're just watching it for the first time and learning about it for the first time. Local community theaters, schools, and colleges also perform these kinds of plays. But you want to make sure that you try to find one that's adapted for children if your children are younger than high school. That way you're going to make sure that your child has a better understanding and a more enjoyable time. And it censors parts that are not intended for younger audiences. You also might want to make puppets and reenact the story. These puppets can be made out of paper and craft sticks, paper bags, or even old socks. You know those odd socks that are left over when the pair mysteriously disappears and you're not quite sure what happened to it. This is a great use for those. Or just use Barbies or other dolls or toys that are lying around the house as your characters. You'll be surprised and probably amused by the creativity of your children as they make these characters for their plays. Have discussions and ask questions. Talk about some of the characters and what kind of people they were. Were they good, bad, greedy, or even silly? Discuss what kinds of things they did. Did they make good or poor decisions, and why? These are the first steps to character analysis and understanding what motivates people, and gives your children practice in making judgments about character qualities. Ask your children if they enjoyed the story. Why or why not? Was there at least one part that they liked? What was their favorite part? All of these types of questions are the start to using different levels of thinking skills and practicing literature analysis, and is a great exercise for the brain. Before you start reading the stories or plays, you can read and learn about William Shakespeare. You can look at pictures of the Globe Theater and read about where and how these plays were performed. Maybe even construct a model of the Globe Theater. If you want to include history study, you can learn about the time period in which he lived and the famous people and events of his time. There are a number of great books about Shakespeare and the Globe Theater just for children. No one knows the exact date of his birth. Some sources say he was baptized on April 26th and died on April 23rd. So April 23rd is the day that's usually recognized as his birthday. Whether you choose to have a birthday party for the bard or just have some kind of party, there are lots of fun ideas you can include in your celebration. I even found a wonderful free set of printables that I was very excited to share with you for decorations, party favors, photo props, party hats of king's crowns and fairy headbands, and even placemats. The link for that is on this page as well. Inside, there are even games and activity ideas with descriptions and directions on how to do them. Some additional things that you can include in your celebration or party would be dressing up as characters from one or more of his plays or historical figures who lived during Shakespeare's life. My co-op classes that I taught for American Lit, Brit Lit, World Lit, we dressed up as characters either from the plays or poetry or stories that we read, or even the authors. And these kids had such a great time with just creating their costumes, coming into class, sharing them, and acting out these characters and authors. And I had a great time just seeing what they came up with and how creative they were. So you'll be surprised. These were high schoolers, and they had a great time with it. Another thing is to add food from the time period during Shakespeare's life. It's fun to find recipes and try out foods from different time periods. So try to add that to your celebration too. Maybe play some games, like stating a word or a phrase, and then asking the others at the party if they can tell you if it is one from Shakespeare that he created or not. Say a famous quote from a story or a play that you read or watched or even listened to, and ask what story or play it's from, or maybe what character said it, depending upon the age group, you know, of children that you've got at this party. Play a game, and I've played this game before in our co-op classes, and we had a great time with it, where you read either a quote from Shakespeare or from the King James Bible, and you ask if anyone can tell you which one it came from. Shakespeare, or it's a verse from the Bible. And because it's from the same time frame, you'll be surprised by how some of them can sound so familiar and they can mislead you. So seeing how you use and encounter Shakespeare almost every day, and by using these ideas to learn more about the Bard and his works, I hope now you will find it fun as you brush up your Shakespeare. If you have any questions or would like to share any ideas you and your family have enjoyed in the past, or even from this podcast, please be sure to comment in the comments box on this page. I would love to hear from you and your thoughts and ideas. So until next time, enjoy your homeschool journey. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Be sure to visit me at literarycafepodcast.com for this podcast and others, and at katieshomeschoolcottage.com for even more ideas and resources for you to use in your homeschool journey.
This podcast is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or any of your favorite podcast apps. Look for the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show to keep up to date with all our wonderful podcasts. For a special subscriber printable pack, as well as all our timely freebies, join our email list on theultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com.